More numbers that say, not so bad.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open. We take a look at the broader economy just as trading gets started on Wall Street this morning. Inflation? No need for concern. One rural music festival that's carrying on the tradition of Woodstock and catering vino to the guys. But first, where's Wall Street? Numbers down right now for the markets. The S&P down 0.5%. Same for the Dow. The NASDAQ down right now about 0.7%. Europe's mixed. As a matter of fact, London's FTSE is flat right now. Not going anywhere in Europe. European shares, as I said, mixed. Asian markets mostly in positive territory today before closing. After its two-day meeting this week, the Fed said they're keeping interest rates low and inflation is not a concern right now. Then this morning, we learned consumer prices went nowhere in July, essentially telling us the same thing. So let's talk about it for a moment with Richard DeKayser, president of Woodley Park Research. He joins us live from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
So we have, of course, this inflation in check, according to the Fed. And what about deflation? Should we be worried about that?
I don't think so. You know, it is, in fact, something we're living through. If you look at what happened to inflation over the past year, the answer is it declined. Prices are down 2%, 2.1 to be exact. But that's all about oil or commodities more generally. It was 1 year ago in July that we saw $145 a barrel oil. That's what's giving us deflation now. If we strip away those kind of high volatile commodities, the underlying trend is what economists call disinflation, lowering inflation, but we're not dipping into the red. So it's a legitimate concern, but I think way premature to host that as a high priority at this point.
So we've got inflation, deflation, and disinflation.
Yeah, sorry.
It's another term to think about. We got a positive July number on industrial production at the nation's factories, up for the first time in 9 months and only the second time since the recession officially began in December of 07. Are we talking about a big turning point here?
I think this is significant. You know, at around the turn of the year, we had this absolute glut of unsold automobiles. Dealers were not putting through orders to factories. The producers themselves were going through bankruptcy, and we had a massive collapse of output in the auto sector. That's coming back nicely, and the significance of this is that industrial production is one of the four ingredients that the high priests of economics use to determine when the economy is in recession or recovery. So this adds more credibility to the argument that July is a turning point pulling out of the economic recession.
All right, Richard DeKayser, thanks for being with us.
A pleasure.
This weekend marks the 40th anniversary of the Woodstock Music Festival. It was a big economic boost for one small town in New York. Another festival that's been gaining an audience is Bonnaroo. And this summer, it brought dozens of acts, including David Byrne and Bruce Springsteen. And it's in Manchester, Tennessee every year. It's a city about an hour's drive southeast of Nashville. The mayor of Manchester, Betty Superstein, joins us now. Good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you today?
We're doing well. We're talking tens of thousands of people making their way to your town every year. That's got to be a logistical nightmare.
The first year, it took us by surprise. Who would have thought over 100,000 people would show up? And it was a nightmare. The interstate was clogged. Actually, they were parked on the interstate. People would just get out of their car and run up to Waffle House and get something to eat and walk back to their car. Now, the interstate stays open. It is so well controlled. Now, people here in Manchester can go and do whatever they want to do.
Well, what's the payoff, Madam Mayor, for all of that?
We think it's like a $20 million impact on the area, plus they spend close to $3 million on materials, labor, and supplies.
You think a lot of these festivals, you know, that have popped up across the country, you think they're all a part of this legacy of Woodstock?
I think it's the age of many of the festival goers. They don't know Woodstock. But people my age, yes, I'd say it was like the birth of many of these. The people our age, they see that as the beginning. But this Bonnaroo, this past year was just beautiful. It just flowed. This year was, I think, one of the better years.
Betty Superstein is the mayor of Manchester, Tennessee. Thank you, Madam Mayor, for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Listening to the Morning Report for Friday, August 14th, 2009 at marketplace.org. President Obama will probably run into protesters of his health care overhaul today. He's headed to Montana to hold a town hall meeting on the trillion-dollar plan. Opponents of a public insurance option are pointing to places such as Canada and the UK as reasons not to expand government-run health care. That's putting some British people on the defensive. Politicians and members of the public there are rallying in support of their National Health System, or NHS. Christopher Worth has more from London.
Kate Spall was interviewed about her negative experience with Britain's public health care system for a documentary earlier this year. The video actually ended up being used for an ad paid for by Conservatives for Patients' Rights. That's an American group lobbying against a public health care option that's been favored by President Obama. At last count, it was running about a $20 million campaign. Spall set up the Pamela Northcott Fund after her mother died of kidney cancer. It advocates for better access to innovative treatments in the UK, which her mother was initially denied. But Spall says her views were misrepresented in the ad.
You know, I am somebody who fights for those that are the vulnerable people in society. So to align myself with an organization that's against universal health care is the polar opposite of what I believe in, because I believe it's a human right.
The UK's Department of Health has issued a three-page rebuttal to the Associated Press to clear up any misconceptions about the British system that Americans may have. There's even a Twitter campaign called We Love the NHS. It's now reported to have more than a million followers. Both Prime Minister Gordon Brown and Conservative leader David Cameron have tweeted their support. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
You probably already know President Obama wants more regulation of banks. Now we learn the administration wants big banks to pay more for those rules. From Washington, here's reporter Tamara Keith.
The administration reportedly wants to create a two-tiered pay-for-regulation system. The Washington Post says larger firms would pay more than they are currently paying, while smaller banks would face less of a burden. Under the proposal, unregulated institutions, like some mortgage lenders, will pay these types of fees for the first time. This would cover some of the costs to fund President Obama's Consumer Protection Agency. The thought is larger banks, because of their complexity, are harder to regulate, so they should pay a greater share. Perhaps not surprisingly, those banks don't love this proposal. A spokesman for the Financial Services Roundtable called the fees uneven and disproportionate. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Shortly after Chrysler went into bankruptcy back in April, it announced it was closing nearly 800 dealerships to get its inventory back in line with market demand. But now it's actually planning to open new dealerships, in some cases not very far from the ones that are closing. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
Chrysler argued it had to cut loose dealerships to bring supply in line with demand. But Edmunds.com auto analyst Michelle Krebs says it's now clear Chrysler took advantage of its situation to shut dealerships it had wanted to close for some time.
State franchise laws were written largely by dealers. They're very protective of dealerships, and it's very hard to get rid of a dealer, even if they're a very bad one.
Unless, of course, you're in federal bankruptcy protection. Krebs says Chrysler's move is all about location. Even putting a dealer a few blocks away from where it's been for decades could boost sales dramatically. Dealers like Wade Walker in Vermont are not amused by Chrysler's reshuffle.
Why would an auto dealer want to invest millions of dollars and build a facility, build a clientele, all to have it ripped away through a bankruptcy process?
Walker says he's lost 25% of his business since he was forced to stop selling Jeeps. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
You know, winemakers have long argued their business is recession-proof, but this downturn has tested that. People are going out less, and that's cut deeply into wine sales in restaurants. So winemakers say they'll find new buyers, including one market the business had previously written off. From Oregon Public Broadcasting, Ethan Lindsay reports.
Matt Maloney is a 34-year-old landscaper in Bend, Oregon. On a warm summer evening, he's sipping a beer in a patio bar.
I do like wine, but I drink beer. Wine, I think, has this, maybe not stigma, but some sort of something attached to it that makes it a little more formal instead of social.
Men, on average, say they prefer beer to wine, according to a Gallup poll last year. Industry research shows that women make up 70% of wine buyers. Winemakers are trying to change that. Ted Farthing is the executive director of the Oregon Wine Board.
We're all fighting for share of stomach.
Now winemakers across the country hope to make wine more masculine. Chris Justema is the co-owner of another Bend brewery and bar, Cascade Lakes Brewing. He says wine is more of a dinner party beverage than something to drink while hanging around with the boys.
You know, it's cool for guys to sit around and drink a bottle of wine. Let's not get away from it. But most guys I know at least start with a few beers and then move to a glass of wine at dinner.
Some well-known winemakers have even crafted labels and names specifically for men. Names like Kung Fu Girl, Red Truck, and Maximus. Others are advertising in sports known to attract men. For instance, Sonoma County's Bennett Lane Winery bought a NASCAR racing team and just sponsored a minor league NASCAR race. Just 30 minutes north of Cascade Lakes Brewing, Marigus Winery hosts tasting and jazz shows. Owner Doug Marigus says sports and cars aren't the only ways to appeal to men.
Most men are going to like either red wine or a slightly sweet white wine. Just what I've seen. I'm not saying that I actually make it thinking, how can I attract men?
The secret? Just to make good wine. In Bend, Oregon, I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
We've heard a lot about retailers suffering during this downturn. We're all buying less and cutting back where we can. But some products are striking the right balance and thriving during this recession, as Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
What if you could get in shape just by wearing something? That's the sales pitch for MBTs.
Okay, so we're going to set your heel back because
MBTs are funny-looking athletic shoes with thick, rounded bottoms. You kind of rock back and forth on them. Company trainer Rich Rowe says, if I wear them, my back will stop hurting, my stomach will stop pooching, and my legs will look more like Heidi Klum legs.
And just start walking.
Wow, okay.
So new muscles are being engaged on the outside of the ankles. Peroneals are getting stronger.
Homely as they are, toning shoes are the fastest growing category of footwear. Reebok, Skechers, Curves, and Avon all have versions. They're not cheap. They can cost a couple hundred dollars. But marketing expert Mary Lou Quinlan is not surprised to see them taking off, even in a recession.
As marketers, we're always looking for more benefit bang for the buck, and the recession calls for even a heavier dose of that. Get in shape without setting foot in a gym. Like, who doesn't want that?
In other words, now that we're strapped, we want our stuff to do more stuff. Hence the next big trend in toning shoes, making the clunky styles look good. FitFlops is focusing on that part of the market. The flip-flops tone your butt and legs in runway-worthy styles, says spokeswoman Katie Neiman.
The Electra, the sequin-smothered one. The Aurelia is a kind of corseted gladiator. The Snugger, which is a snow boot. Felt clogs and suede boots.
FitFlops expects sales to jump 70% this year. And MBT, which came up with the rounded heel concept, is rolling out a new set of styles next year that they say people can proudly wear in public. Marketer Mary Lou Quinlan says if toning shoes get pretty, she's sold.
I feel like, why not go for this? It might work. That's just it. Maybe it's hope. Maybe this is like cosmetics. You know, you never stop hoping that there's a quick fix solution.
Quinlan says people will always pay for a quick fix. I mean, getting Heidi Klum legs while you walk to the vending machine in style, that's recession marketing gold. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
You can check out a video of Stacey trying on a pair of those toning shoes. Head to our website, marketplace.org. Recession may have put a damper on the summer travel season, but that may be to the benefit of another summertime tradition, the state fair. From WUWM in Milwaukee, Latoya Dennis has more.
The Wisconsin State Fair is a big to-do here. Of course, you have the animals.
And then there's local specialties like chocolate-covered bacon on a stick and cream puffs.
I hope that I do enough walking to burn off the cream puffs.
Patrice Harris handles public relations for the fair. She says despite the recession, attendance is on par with last year. The fair opened last weekend, and so far, more than 500,000 people have come through. Still, she has special offers to thank for part of that turnout.
On Tuesday, we offered 2-for-1 admission for the adult admission price. We had over 32,600 people come in for that.
Numbers like these are expected at state fairs across the country, according to Jim Tucker. He's president and CEO of the International Association of Fairs and Expositions.
It seems that people are staying close to home and taking advantage of local entertainment.
So far, North Dakota is the only state to have completed its run, and Tucker said it had record attendance. The Wisconsin State Fair ends this weekend. In Milwaukee, Latoya Dennis for Marketplace.
If you've got a seance planned for tonight, you might want to call ahead before you go and buy a Ouija board. The Chicago Tribune says some Target stores have run out of the supernatural games, maybe because of the popularity of the Twilight book series and movie. Could be people seeking a message about when the economy will improve. Hey, we've got a website, marketplace.org. Hope you can join us there and share your thoughts with us. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.